This call is being recorded.
Hey, good morning. Ram here. Anyone else on the line already? Hello.
Hey, Greg Wallace is here from Hyperledger Marketing. Hey, everyone.
Hi, Greg. How's it going?
It's good. It's real good. It's better now that consensus is over. Much better. How are you?
Doing great. It's just been crazy because I'm getting ready to go to travel to India.
Oh.
So I'm leaving this evening. So I'm trying to wrap up a few things before I go. So you know how it is.
Well, I have to ask, is it work, pleasure, or family?
Family. So I don't... call my India trips vacation. I call them India trips.
Fair enough.
I have a wedding to attend, so which is a whole.
This is looking really nice. I'm in the dock. I know we're probably going to get to this when we get started, but did you decide to pull the part where each of the projects sort of reflects how the different architectural components are reflected within the respective frameworks? That's the only piece that I had seen before that I'm not seeing, and I know we were missing a few. So
are you talking about the main architecture document, or are you talking about the article that you're putting together?
Well, I guess I'm in the main one. I'm in the one that was linked in the
in the invite, yes.
Yeah, in the invite. So, okay, so I guess that, oh yeah, that's a good point. So you're right. I guess that was never talked about as being something that would be in here. It was only in the positioning paper, as it were.
Yeah.
Which I need to revisit. We did get clearance to bring some freelance writers on who, are available to assist kind of getting things across the finish line in very close collaboration with all of you subject matter experts, and who just have, they'll have more bandwidth to just dedicate to working on the writing and the editing than I can provide. So happy to talk with you about that at some point, because really sort of like a resource that's available. Right, but not, I don't want to force it on you, right? If
right.
There's preference to continue down the sort of community path, right?
No, absolutely. We should make use of,
because both of the people that I've got in mind have a lot of experience working with, developers and other technologists, and have, processes whereby they'll, if there's a piece that's, missing or lagging, they can just hold an interview, right? Set up an interview,
right.
Record it, uh-huh. Draft that section, right?
Yeah.
Review it with the subject matter expert and then get it done, right? And
right.
So that way we stay really close to the technology and the technologists, but we make it a little less time consuming, right? And
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that's something that happy to kind of work with you to kind of coordinate that and get that set up.
And so these are like technical writers, or are they more marketing oriented, or both, or
Both. So they,
both? Okay.
both of them have exposure to blockchain.
Okay.
One of them has done a lot of writing for the Linux Foundation, does some writing right now for Node, so very, very knowledgeable, writes for TechTarget, very good, solid technical writer, technical marketing writer. And then the other actually was a product marketer at Google, and then had to relocate for and so has been doing freelance writing for a while. So both are quite technical.
Great. And so from a kind of process perspective, like if we want their help, how would we go about kind of using them?
So, well, what I think would be worthwhile would be to I think have an orientation session, right? Where a small number of people, maybe just you, Ram, and that technical writer, have a call, go through the doc, and identify what's done, right? And sort of like rank the sections, like complete, in process, not started. And for the in process and not started sections, identify the subject matter expert that the writer can speak to do the interview and get the draft done. That would probably be the most expedient way. And then the other thing that I think they can also do that will be valuable is once it's content complete, go through and just edit for voice, right? Because what we're going to have is a really, really great representation of the expertise that our community has. But because it's been written by, a group of people, it'll read like it was written by a group of people. And so they can just edit for consistency of voice and style.
Got it.
So I think that we can leverage them for those two things. That would be probably what I would think would be the best way for us to work with them.
Okay, so it sounds like after the content we've arrived to, let's say, enough maturity, then we can have one or two people who represent the content, kind of two ways to use it. So the first way is once we've, let's say, reached 90% on the content level on a section or something, then we can use the technical writers along with one or two people from this group who can participate in offline sessions and help use it, take their help to flesh out the writing. And second, if we are doing it piecemeal, have them kind of go in and provide that unified voice. And I think probably you should talk to Hart about how we can use them in the white paper work group as well, because I think we have that exact same problem in the white paper.
And the only thing I'd add to that, I think that sounds exactly right, Ram, is if there are even if there are sections that are not 90%, right? Maybe they're 50, but we know that there's a subject matter expert who, for whatever reason, they're less comfortable writing, they one of their colleagues just left the company and they've had to pick up all of their work. There could be a million reasons why they have been a little slower than others to get their section done. That's okay, right? We can just set up a call. It'll take, 45 minutes, do an interview, record it. The technical writer will go and put together a draft of that section. Set up a subsequent call to review or just review online, right? And
So, all right.
get it done, right? So we can do that also, because I know how hard you and so many folks have been working on this, and I agree that this content is really, really good and really needed. And so I want to be as helpful as possible get as much of it across the finish line, as we can, right?
Yeah, sorry, I was a little distracted there because I'm trying to figure out why many people aren't there, and we're trying to switch between WebEx and this, so maybe I should sign into
Oh.
WebEx and see what's going on here. Why is this? Why aren't folks on the call? So let's see if I have the old WebEx information somewhere so I can see if anybody.
Looks like we've got 11 now on Uber Conference, including you and me.
I don't hear anybody else on voice, so that's why I'm
Yeah.
wondering
It just looks
what's
like a lot of
happening.
people are muted.
Yeah, we're here. I think people are just listening to the conversation, if I had to guess.
I see. Okay, so that's probably a feature that's kind of missing. It's not obvious to me who's on the call. Why do we
Oh,
go there?
yeah, you have to, yeah, if you go to the URL, uberconference.com/hyperledger-community, you'll see all
Yeah,
these little tiles that have people.
I am there, but I don't see. Oh, let's see the people is. Ah, yes, I got it. Just a matter of. Hey, hard Stan, how's it going?
Hello. Good.
Hey, I'm somehow.
Hey,
I'm
Hart.
somehow in here. Hey, sorry. No, I'm somehow in here twice.
Yeah.
I'm the thing just crashed my browser and now it left my the profile where it picks up the poor woman's LinkedIn. So that one is still there.
I can hang that one up, Hart, if you want me to try that.
Yeah, that one's a zombie profile. It
Okay.
crashed the browser and it's somehow still in Uber Conference.
All right, should be gone now.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
All right, let me also pull up our meeting notes section and then My Outlook is not at all happy that I tried modifying this meeting to remove the WebEx and add the Uber conference information. It's not showing me the information in my own invite.
I can copy the stuff to the chat so that you can get the meeting
Great.
notes.
That'd be great, thanks.
I put the links to meeting notes in the architecture document that we've been working on in the chat for everybody to reference.
So this is chat on the Uber conference side, or?
That, yeah, chat on Uber conference site.
I don't see anything yet on the chat.
Did you click the like little chat button? It's hard to
Yeah.
find.
I clicked it and I see the organizers enabled chat. Conference started 9 a.m., connected 9 a.m., but I don't see any messages.
And is there any way to disable like all of the mute and unmute notifications in chat? Does anyone know how to do that?
So Hart, I did put in a feature request for Uber Conference to do that, because there is no way to do it yet.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, it's really hard to follow the chat as it is.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't see any of the chat.
Message.
So I will.
I just try to send hello world. I don't know. I can't see.
That's weird. Ram, I'm also putting the information in Rocket Chat as well.
Great, thanks.
It seems really buggy. I don't know.
Yeah, I have not had great success with Uber Conference. It's, you know, but I use it. And it isn't great. It's okay, but it's not great.
So, Ram, I can see your hello world message in the chat. So
that's interesting. 6, 7. All right. So I think the first, perhaps, Greg, do you want to kind of recap where we are on the article? The other items I wanted to see whether we had, and depends on whether we have quorum for the other discussions. Want to touch on identity and then talk perhaps about the interworking pieces. Greg, you know, quick update from you in terms of the article we're doing. Are we still pending on input from the two projects, or
Let me, you know, I'll apologize in advance that it's just it. I've not really gotten to spend much time with this since consensus. So let me see where we are. Yeah, it looks like the biggest gaps right now are still needing to have the Hyperledger Fabric and Hyperledger Aroha, you know, paragraph or two about how the concepts within the, you know, the architectural concepts around consensus are reflected right within those projects, within those frameworks. There's a couple other things that I think, honestly, probably maybe if Tracy, Ram, and anybody else on this call that like to be involved, you know, we could go through, and I think we could probably nail down pretty quickly. You know, specifically, I think any graphics that we might want to include. But yeah, I feel like, you know, provided we can get a consensus description for Hyperledger Fabric and Hyperledger Aroha, I would think that we should be fairly close on this, and if you are okay with it, and that would be for the consensus piece. I think there's still plenty to be done on the smart contract layer.
Okay.
So I guess a question to the group is how would people feel about moving forward with the first positioning paper being about consensus and then do smart contract layer as second?
I'm okay with that. I think what we discussed and what's probably reflected in the paper is saying, hey, you know, there's a enumeration of the different modules, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we are saying, and you know, one line description of each, and then we are going with the consensus layer as the first,
right,
first in a series of papers.
Yes.
And you know, I think that's a great way to proceed.
Okay.
Rest of the folks. You're talking, you're muted.
Okay, this time. As kind of talked last time, I added to the suggestion, kind of a taxonomy to document, different types of things we're discussing in the architecture document. So I was trying to define what are layers, what are services and modules. And I think smart contract is clearly a layer because it's a combination of different components. And consensus, to me at least, and I mean, I'll defer to like Nick and more experienced members of the community on what it actually is, but it feels like a smaller like module. So I think we'll just need to do a better job setting up the context if we're going to start with consensus. My two cents.
Got it. So Stan, I guess what you're saying is we were calling that the ledger layer with consensus being one of the components, I guess, but that's the main components of the ledger layer in my mind, right?
Right. No, agreed. Absolutely agreed. It's just that probably need to kind of define what I'm saying is we're starting consensus. We'll need to probably give a better background on what is it part of in terms of the architecture.
Right.
I'm just not sure that we have all those outlined, but that would be up to the writers to whittle out.
Okay. So you're saying let's provide a little bit more context in with respect to the ledger layer, if you will, and you know, just let's not just talk about consensus.
Yeah. Well, we can focus on consensus, just should give the background of the entire ledger layer.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. I think, you know, it seems to me, you know, just looking at this document, there's the section that precedes the dive into the consensus layer, which is, you know, what is presently called the architecture overview. And we have a call out to drop the architecture block diagram in there, which I see has now been added to the main architecture paper, which is great. So we could, you know, if you all agree, pull that in there. And then it's really just a couple sentences, and we could then add a sentence or two to position the consensus layer as part of the ledger layer. Right here. So I'll just, you know, if everybody's okay with that, I'll just put a note to provide context here that consensus layer is part of ledger, is parentheses main part of ledger layer.
Yeah, and thanks Tracy for putting that in. I when I first saw that, I couldn't make out because it's showing all the contributors as anonymous. So. Yeah. But thanks for putting that in, and it's a great start. We probably the one thing I was thinking of is I think you've included peer-to-peer communication as a module within the ledger layer. I think we were thinking of that as a communications layer. You know, below, and you know, it would be good to kind of reflect that and that.
Sure, definitely. Yeah, I thought I'd throw it out there and let people comment on it. Right, didn't know that this was necessarily reflective of the discussion so far, but that was kind of my thoughts, and so I'm happy to have people go in there and kind of modify the different layers that exist, if we want a communication layer in there and what's there. And, you know, I question whether or not some of my little boxes are in the right spot. So definitely I'd love to have a conversation on what's the right diagram here. I just wanted to get something out there to kind of start the conversation.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is basically what we had in mind, except we had split off the distributed ledger layer into all separate layers. So I think I have a diagram almost exact. I wrote a diagram for a talk almost exactly like this, where I have membership layer. I called it the chain code layer instead of the smart contract layer. And then I split off the distributed ledger part into literally those four exact layers. So communication, consensus, crypto, and like database layer, whatever. So, you know, I split those off because like the crypto and say the storage and will, you know, will get used by all of the other layers, kind of. But if we want to kind of group those in as, you know, primitives in that layer with the understanding that the other layers can call it, I mean, that makes sense too.
Yeah, and I think this goes to Stan's point about, you know, component taxonomy and a little section that he's added to the architecture document about what we mean by a module, what we mean by a layer, what we mean by a service. So I think we just need to kind of agree on that, right? So,
basically, exactly the, what Hart just said, right? Like, crypto fits perfectly into the services category, if you will, whether it's used by all the layers and multiple components.
Hi, this is Leonard. I just want to ask a general question, possibly to Ram. Are we hoping that the diagram to be inserted here, we will have a short, you might say, paragraph describing that diagram? Or will the description for that diagram be part of the different layers, sort of a, following that diagram? Because it would be nice if we had, you might say, a synergy between the components or the layers identified in that diagram and the different layers of documentation of content that we will be adding after the diagram, like the consensus layer, smart contracts, etc. So just that people can look at the diagram and then it will flow into further descriptions of each of the layers of components as viewed in that diagram. Just a general answer.
That's a good question. I think the way of thinking about it is that we will probably have a short description, architecture overview. If you look at, you know, the first section that's there in the position paper, we have like a, we can probably copy that over right now into the overview section, right? Where we have like a one-line description of each of those components. And then we'll have a section which will deep dive into each of those layers or modules and kind of describe those. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that would be nice, yeah. I think that would be nice because it would flow, especially for people trying to get a comprehensive understanding of what, how the layers, you might say, interoperate and provide that solution. If it flows nicely that way, I think that would help for any audience.
Sounds good. Any other thoughts, folks? Mick?
Yeah, I just added some stuff into the chat. I like the definition that Stan proposed. But it does bring up some questions like, you know, is membership a layer or is membership a service? Because yeah, it doesn't share any dependencies, but really everybody needs to tap into it. So the implication is that the kind of architectural overview needs to reflect the actual relationship between the components if we're going to do that.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I'm not able to see anything on chat, even though supposedly my messages are going out. So apologies there. I don't know why that is.
Right. And so I kind of put that in a text that, at least to me, membership, so like identity services, is a service, right? Because it's used at multiple layers and it's the same like instance of the component that you'll be using. So it does act in terms of architecture as a service. Same for crypto. But something like, that's a good example, like say storage. It's just storage is a module. Yeah, it exists in multiple places, but it's used just within that context. It's not shared between different layers. I guess that would be my definition of a module.
Why do you think that it won't be used by different layers?
It would be, but I mean, in terms of, you know, pure software as a separate different instance versus the same as a global service.
Well, what I would use for storing state of a smart contract might be very, for the state of some chain code execution might be very different than what I use for the log of transactions, which might be very different from what I use for a communication messaging log.
Of course. So those would be the modules versus the generic database service.
Okay, I'm missing the distinction.
Well, I mean, if we define, so the basic layer that right now they're in the picture, we have distributed ledger and smart contract, those as layers. Both of those should have access to the identity service, and it's the same one, right? Both of them have a need for some kind of a storage facility, and because it's different, it's actually a different module. We're not defining a generic interface for data storage as used by like for state store or actual blockchain, you know, ledger store. Oh, unless we are.
So let me just ask a high level question. So we have frequently been challenged on how we put these pieces together in order to do the representation. Is the purpose of coming up with these diagrams to help communicate, or is it simply to articulate relationships between things? To a degree, I would be quite happy to just lose the architecture diagram and say, here are the components of a distributed ledger that we care about. And then rather than trying to force things into some layering model, because that's not naturally how they interact. The interactions between these components is more complex than that. Would it make sense to try to avoid creating something that becomes a lightning rod and just go back and say, hey, look, we thought through the components. Here are the components, and here are the relationships that we've identified between the components. And it's messy, and that's okay. We can live with messy. It feels like we're trying to make it clean when it's not clean.
I have a hard time picturing architecture without diagrams, right? I mean, to me, that is part of what architecture is being able to describe in both words and pictures kind of what what you're trying to communicate, right? I think there's
but the diagram has to be reflective of the way the system actually works in order for it to be useful, and that's sure. Not.
That's not
how the pieces fit together for either of the, for any of the three major things. I mean, they don't layer cleanly like that.
Something that I've seen, Mick. You know, that maybe would be a way to label this that would maybe help us here would be to call it a logical view. So you're not trying to imply that that is clean as it would be presented here, but I do really kind of agree and empathize with Tracy's point. And I think more broadly, I think that's how a lot of people out there also like to consume information. And I think if it's possible, it would be highly desirable to have a picture. My two cents.
Mick, I think, I completely understand where you're coming from. You're saying, if you're going to have a picture, let's try to make it reflective of
remotely
reality, right?
Yeah, I'd say remotely reflective of reality, because this one isn't.
If you think about the other major architectural kind of documents, the other alternate ways to kind of lay out the functional modules, if you will, and call out the interfaces between them, right? And if you we can go all the way to saying, hey, let's name the interfaces, and then let's at least define them and so forth. I mean, I don't know how far we want to go down that path, but certainly we can call out the interfaces between the modules. In my mind, we were thinking about layers just for simplicity of representation. The layers are kind of loosely defined at this point, and you know, trying to map them. I guess in some sense, a communication layer is probably pretty well defined. And when I was thinking about the ledger store, I was thinking about specific, not a generic database store for all kinds of storage services, but really, you know, that there is a ledger store abstraction, if you will, right? But you know, up for debate whether we want to have a generic storage abstraction for as a generic, you know, store that can be used for multiple layers. You see what I mean? There's probably a functional specification for a ledger store.
I wouldn't even agree with that, because I think every smart contract language is going to have a unique representation for the data elements that it wants to persist.
I think what's required in the architecture diagram, or in the architecture paper, this initial one, right, is some sort of conceptual view of the components that make up an architecture for blockchain. Because in our requirements to move from incubation to active, right, part of that is how does your particular framework, what's the logical architecture for this particular framework, and how does it meet this conceptual view that we've laid out in the architecture document?
Okay, except for the last sentence, I agree with you. If you simply look at the components, right, the components exist in all three of the major fabrics, right, in all three of the platforms. How they are put together is radically different in all three. Right? There's no layering. The dependencies are different. Places where they execute is different. The relationships between them is different. The specifications are different. I mean, the consistency is certainly at, we all need consensus. We all need communication. We all need crypto. We all have multiple storage mechanisms that are in place. We all have some notion of transactions, but the relationships between them and how they're plugged together is a platform-specific thing that's designed to meet the requirements of a particular application domain. So anything that you do with an architectural overview that tries to put them together or impose a particular architecture on those components and relationship between them is limiting the domain of operation of a fabric, platform, whatever.
Yeah, and Mick, I guess, you know, we have, you know, what we're doing here is to try to develop a more abstract and functional definition of the architectural components, which, you know, ideally we are moving towards a pluggable framework which will let us, you know, adapt any and mix and match those modules to meet those different disparate needs, right? So, you know, we have this path dependency of saying, hey, you know, the project started before we are done with this, you know, unified view. So we're going to iterate, and hopefully the projects are going to move through that fully pluggable module. So we have interoperable capabilities and so forth. But, you know, that's kind of aspirational from.
Right. And it's the framework that it's not the components, right, Ram? You know, we've had this discussion, right? I'm not at all oppositional to the components and the pieces, because they do exist.
Yep.
But the way those pieces are put together in Fabric, because it is meeting a particular business requirement, right? Fabric scales on contract execution, but ordering is almost completely centralized. So the mix and match of those and separating those out into separate machines and the relationships between them is a reflection of the business needs the Fabric is trying to address. Sawtooth is more about decentralization. reducing the attack surface. So consensus is co-located with contract execution in the current implementations of Sawtooth. Right. The relationships between them, how the pieces are mapped onto machines, how they relate to one another, and the distinction between them is a reflection of an optimization for a particular business case. There won't be a generic framework. There will be components that we can pick up and reuse and put together, but it is the framework and how those pieces that are fit together, which is really the reflection of the unique characteristics and business problems that are being solved.
I think we are completely on the same page there, right? And I think that goes back to the point Greg was trying to make earlier, in the sense that if we have a logical or functional view and allow different projects to co-locate different functions together, perhaps even because they're local, use different types of interfaces between those functions in the cases that they're co-located and so forth, to kind of compose, if you will, the right implementation which reuses the components that we have, right?
So then why don't we lose the architectural overview completely? Start with a list of the components, and then we get Fabric to say, here's how the components fit together in Fabric. This is the architecture. This is the framework for Fabric, and this is the framework for Aroha, and this is the framework for Sawtooth. So we really emphasize the fact that it's the components where the consistency occurs, not how the components are put together.
I really like that idea, especially looking at this from Indy's perspective, because the way we decompose these is fairly significantly different in a few areas, because membership is actually the primary use case as opposed to smart contract.
Right.
Maybe we should just represent these as a graph instead of a hierarchy. If you kind of want to just draw things as a graph, then I imagine most platforms will have fairly similar graphs, right? Because kind of every module needs to talk to the crypto module. You know, most modules are stateful, so they'll need to talk to the database module. It's kind of how the communication happens is different. And as Mick pointed out, how things are structured and layered is very different, but kind of everything needs to talk to basically everything else. So if we, maybe a couple exceptions, but if we write this out as kind of a graph and we have a structureless layout, then that might be a good way. That might be a good compromise here, because some people seem to want a diagram.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out how to kind of have the logical functional view and have that separate from the actual the implementation, which can choose to co-locate different functions, right? So, you know, it's good to probably have both, is the way I was thinking about it, right? The separate logical view, and to Hart's point, you know, if that doesn't come out neatly into layers and it's a graph of interfaces between the modules, so let's capture that, right? And if any of those can be loosely coupled into layers because the interfaces make sense that way, let's call them out as layers, right? In some sense, the layer definition is somewhat loosey-goosey in my mind, right? But and so if it makes sense to lose some of that layer semantics because it's not adding value, we can do that by calling out the interfaces between the modules.
I would fully agree. I mean, it was one of the reasons I wanted to kind of have this taxonomy, right, so that we know what we're talking about. And layer is a layer, right? If there are no layers, well, that's think of the whole architecture in terms of, like as Hart said, like a graph of components. I think right. Using the word layer confuses a lot of people, and because then there's an expectation of this block diagram of where the layers are. And I still feel that at the foundation of a lot of things, there is a distributed ledger, whether it's a layer or module is kind of immaterial, but distributed ledger is at the foundation of things. It was interesting to hear Nathan's point that an identity actually sits directly on top of the ledger versus smart contract. So,
no, I think there's always, and I'm switching between the two views, right? There is identity services that are needed as functional components of a ledger, and then there is identity as the use case, and the actual transaction semantics are around managing identities, right? So,
well, I'm assuming this speaks to the point though that that I think Mick was making, and that is because our primary use case is identity, we've actually structured the ledger itself in a way that would seem almost backwards to a system that's thinking of smart contracts as its primary use case, because we think of the distributed ledger and the ledger storage as the current state of membership. And then by knowing the current state of membership, you can actually defer all the event dispatching and the execution of interactions between identities off the ledger entirely. And so the way the boxes are drawn in terms of the layers is significantly different, even though you could go look at each of the boxes in terms of components and you'd find all the pieces.
Yeah, but I guess, Nathan, if you want to generalize it and say we're going to use ledgers not only for identity transactions, but any other type of transactions, then it makes sense to kind of remove the and call out the functions that are the identity services needed for the system, and then figure out transaction semantics and in sawtooth, there's a whole transaction family way of dealing with it. In Fabric, they're using the chain code, but you see what I mean? The system requirements of identity to operate, let's say, system authentication, system entity authentication, authorization, and so forth, may not, even if they're reusing the same underlying components, are going to be different from how we use any transaction semantics, right?
Ron, I was just going to say, I mean, that's very true. I still hold to the architectural view should have a conceptual or logical view to get the reader to understand the different components and how they play or relate to each other at a very high level. And then just as you said, these very same functional components are implemented differently within Sawtooth as opposed to Iroha. And that's where we can describe that unique implementation for each of the solutions later on. So it's a nice flow of general conceptual and logical view of how the parts should operate or interrelate at a very high level. And then we focus on the detailed implementation to show what these differences are, how they apply differently for each solution. To me, that would form a nice new flow and make it a lot more comprehensive.
I think what Mick's and Nathan's point was that it's not a difference of implementation. It's actually architectural difference. There is no way to put together the same, even high-level diagram of a common architecture, right?
Well,
just based on the functional components, because they're all common functional components. So that's what you'd have in your high-level conceptual diagram for the architecture.
I'm going to make the analogy of it's like a plane where every plane has wings and an engine, but some people put the engines on the tail and some people put them, under the wings. So, I think Stan has some point that there are some kind of base things you can think of the crypto layer, for instance, but in general, there are sort of key architectural differences about where things go between different ledgers.
It sounds to me like one of the other things that's in common, though, I mean, yes, these pieces are all arranged differently, you know, in order to meet the specified use case that that the developers had in mind. But, and so maybe the concept of layer and the way that the components are arranged within layers isn't the right way to depict this, right? From a generalized reference architecture view. But the piece that I don't see that it sounds like everybody agrees is common, well, all of the frameworks have it, is the interfaces between the different pieces. And so maybe that would be a direction that we could take this picture, would be, you know, as I think it was suggested by Mick, is, you know, instead of, you know, grouping by layers and stacking the layers, have the different components and also then define the means of communication between them, so that then you can say, so, that generally speaking, all of our, you know, any permissioned blockchain, right, has to consist of these pieces. And for us to achieve the vision that we've set out, which is to provide, you know, pluggable modular business blockchain architectures, toolboxes, whatever term you want to use, the other piece that's needed is a common definition of the interfaces between them. But what changes and what's different is how the pieces are arranged, right, and so forth. I still feel like there's a way to do that visually. The problem, and, you know, as I'm listening, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, because, you know, I am probably the least technical person here, but it really feels to me like the best way to do this would be through an explainer video, which, you know, is easy to do and not very expensive. But then, because it's hard to do this statically, right? But if we could do it dynamically, where we show, you know, the functionally similar components, right? Whether they're combined in a layer or combined, you know, or not, right? Kind of introduce them, and then show again visually how they are connected.
So,
I don't know.
Rick, can I just interrupt here? That I completely agree with trying to find some way to capture the dynamism here, and show, you know, grouping of parts. I wanted to go back. I also really like Hart's comment about maybe that there's a graph here, and if I could make a suggestion, that the graph isn't so much about interfaces and communication, it's about dependencies, functional dependencies. You know, that seems to be the one thing that's consistent here, right? So in order to have consensus, the consensus has to have communication, so there's a dependency between those. There has to be transaction, or some notion of a contracting language. That contracting language has some state associated with it, which implies a requirement for some storage. We may have storage in multiple places, but focusing on sort of dependencies allows us then to go back and say, okay, if we want to optimize for this, and this is where your dynamism comes in, these are the pieces that we're going to stick together and call them services. If we want to optimize for this application over here, we may pull these things together in a different sort of kind of deployment model. That might allow us to capture, I think, that combination of Hart's suggestion and yours, I think would be the best, most consistent way of representing the realities of the consistency in the components, the relationships between them, and also the need to specialize those for each business case.
Yes, well, we can put a graph together as a model, and let's see the value we get out of it. I mean, that certainly is a good approach. I do like what occurred. I mean, because graph models can simplify complexity. So we can start with one, and don't forget, we are learning and trying to find a very clear best practice way of presenting that for communication purposes. That's why we like things, so it can be clear and communicative. So we can start with the graph, because yes, there's a lot of value in the graph model, and see if that gets us to so.
I'm having a hard time visualizing what a graph would look like. So I apologize if that's because I'm not a developer. Can someone show me something or put a link to an example? Because I'm struggling with that.
Well, let's start. Okay.
Greg, a graph is just, we're talking about like a very abstract graph. So a graph is technically defined as a collection of nodes and a set of edges between them. And those edges can be directed or undirected.
So visually, yeah, it's a set of blocks with edges between them, right?
Yep. Now I'm with you. Okay, cool. I was thinking like a line graph or a bar chart. I'm like, I didn't get it, but okay. No, that makes sense. Yeah, like a network graph. So showing each of these components as a node in a network that is connected via, and a connection means there's a dependency, basically.
Dependency or interface or both, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to call out those, right? Yeah. And I guess, Mick, really, we need to kind of figure out what's the balance between what is our forward-looking, aspirational thing of going to this pluggable module versus what are we trying to do? And I guess in different documents, we can have a different, focus, right? Are we trying to work towards a forward-looking, vision-oriented, pluggable framework where we say, hey, this is where we should be moving towards? Or are we trying to be descriptive of the individual projects? And we probably can have address those in different sections, if you will, right? In the position paper, for instance, we have a section for each of the projects, and that's where we can probably, if we take that kind of view, then we can say, hey, this is where we were moving towards, if you will. This is the idealized, generalized kind of architecture, even though it's only logical and not really, any specific implementation yet. And, here's how the current frameworks relate to that, right? In the descriptions for each of the projects, if you will, the current projects, if you will, right? Does that make sense? I'm just trying to frame.
You and I have had this conversation several times. I'm yes. Perfectly happy. I concede right now that we have no difficulty coming up with a set of comma component definitions.
Right.
The current implementations of those are radically different in the relationships between them. Yep. Although there's some consistency in the dependencies. And as you know, sort of our motivating objective in the long term, I completely agree that driving as much consistency as is appropriate to meet our business requirements is the goal.
Right, right. So
we're fitting to a single architecture that sacrifices potential optimizations for a particular use case is not acceptable to me.
And I think we're totally on the same page. We want to have a flexible enough logical architecture that can be used to kind of compose different solutions where, implementations where you choose to co-locate functions and optimize them. And that's a trade-off for each implementation, right? That's the way I'm thinking about it. And so, we need to find a balance between that. You're just respectful of, I guess, the timing and Hart's next meeting. This is a good conversation. We need to kind of, so what, just to close out on that, how should we move forward? Do one of us want to take a crack at like the graph view, see where that leads us, you know, want to make sure that we kind of converge on this, right?
I will say I'm completely swamped for the next about week and a half.
I'm actually traveling as well, so.
Okay, and that being said, at least at some point over the next 2 weeks, I need to spend a couple of days in San Jose. If you want to find a whiteboard someplace, we could sit down and hack it out.
Okay. I'm gone
assuming
all of
the next 2 weeks. Yeah, assuming we don't have overlapping trips. So
right. I'm in town the week after, so let's probably, we can make that work. Yeah, let's maybe have offline things, and then whoever can join those working sessions.
As I say, anybody who wants to join from who's in the Bay Area, that would be helpful. So, all right, we should get off and let Hart have his.
Good discussion, folks.
I think it's the same call. So
it is the same call. However, I think I would like to, like I did last week with the identity working group, stop this meeting so we can capture the recording as a whole, and then have people join back in for the white paper working group.
Sounds good. All right, folks. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes. Thanks, everyone. Bye.